Jack gave me a little bit of an introduction, and first of all, thank you for that introduction. I'd served as a minister, and when they hired me, I told them I wasn't much of a preacher, but I'd try to be a good minister to the congregation, and the preaching was just something that I got to do, and it's probably not one of my greatest gifts, but I'll do the best I can, considering I'm the D team, and Tyler should be back next week, but happy Boxing Day, by the way. And I don't know if you know much about it. The name comes from a time when the rich used to box up gifts for their servants and for the poor. And it would be a day off for all the servants, and they would go home, and they would prepare boxes for their family. And it's still observed in many of the UK, the British colonies, and Australia, New Zealand, and even in Nigeria, it's observed. And it's really, really a neat holiday if you think about it. A day when you can give to those less fortunate, especially after the day we had yesterday, when a lot of us got Christmas presents that we might not remember this time next year. Many of you don't know me, and I apologize for that. Ann and I came here with Candace about 2.5 years ago with the intention of working and worshiping with the Church of Christ in League City. We closed on our house on February the 19th, 2019. It happened to be Ann's birthday. Happy birthday, Ann, you have a house. However, on February the 20th, 2019, I drove about a mile up the street to the doctor's office, and he said, "Congratulations, you have cancer." So, fortunately, if you have to get a cancer, I got the right kind. Easy treatment, easy cure, just have to keep an eye on it, and everything was fine. A couple of surgeries, a few recoveries, some treatment, and that was pretty much 2019. I could not wait for 2020. I mean, I was so excited about 2020 being a better year that I scheduled a surgery that I had to have done on January the 2nd so I could have the rest of the year off. And I was recovered enough in February that Ann and I were able to go to Romania. Despite rumors of some super virus out there somewhere that was going to shut down the world, we took off for Romania. While we were there, the world ended, as I put it. We were able to negotiate our way back home after they closed the airports. And regardless of what your position is on COVID-19, whether it's a political position or a medical position or a scientific position, there's one thing that we have to be able to agree on. It changed the world, and not in a good way. So we were in Romania when it all hit, and we got home, and the first thing we did after being locked in a huge room with thousands of people from all over the world at the Newark airport is we put ourselves in quarantine for 14 days. At the end of the 14 days, we were free to go nowhere. All that meant is we had a 14-day head start on isolating yourselves. Stay at home. Business is closed. Restaurants closed. Workers were allowed to work at home if they still had a job, but it was a really tough time for people. Churches. We know what happened. Churches closed. Now, those who could and they wanted to stay connected to their bodies, they started live streaming. And if you're watching us today on a live stream, hey, come see us. We'll be glad to see you and come visit with us anytime you can. And the live streaming is not ideal, but it's what we could do. And the reason I say it's not ideal, look around. There are people here that just by the smiles on their faces are encouraging. There are people who just wait to speak to every Sunday. And there's a lot to be said for coming together as a body that you will never get watching your TV screen or your computer screen. But it's what we could do. So the lonely days of 2020 stretched out. Every day, well, I kind of felt like I was trapped in the movie Groundhog Day, to be honest. Every day was about the same. The only difference is the calendar day did click over. And it became 1 month, became 2 months. 2 months became 3 months. And I really don't have to explain it to you because we all lived it. Now, we didn't live it in the same ways, but we all lived through this. Now, here's the sad part. I don't know if you remember the movie Groundhog Day, but I did not learn a new language. I did not learn how to play that musical instrument I always wanted to play. I did not finish writing the book I've always wanted to write. I did not memorize all of the Psalms. I didn't even memorize Philemon. I mean, I look at what I accomplished and I feel as though that was a total waste of my year. And part of it was because I kept thinking, okay, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. And I'm still not really convinced it's over. We have the new variants. Surely. Well, 2021 had to be better. And I was thinking that in December of last year when I had a heart attack on top of everything else. And you know what? I will tell you one thing. 2021 has been better. Still not perfect, but we're here. And we're able to worship together, and that's a big step. And all of that, I tell you, simply to bring out one point. At the end of all of that, I realized how truly blessed I am. Now, we don't have to look very far into the future to see 2022. And I won't ask any of you if you do New Year's resolutions, because I personally don't believe in those. I think as a functional adult, if I need something to be fixed in my life, I should fix it and not wait till the first of the year. If I need to lose weight, I should do it now. If I need to start exercising, I should do it now. If I need to get back in the Word, I should do that now. But I am really looking forward to 2022, and I'd like to explain why. To start the explanation, I have to tell you something. I like good action movies and good, I guess, chick flicks. I can watch those too. I'm good with that. I like the movie where, it's the movies that they used to make in the old days, where good overcomes evil. The boy gets the girl. Righteousness triumphs. And the hero rides away into the sunset. Now, if it's a Hallmark movie, the other thing that has to happen is boy meets girl, boy and girl gets together, they kiss and it snows. That's kind of the Hallmark movies all in a ball there, right there. But I like movies that at the end of the movie, you just feel good. The drifter has to be moving on. There are other people in trouble. There are other battles to fight, other wrongs to right, other paths to follow. So he comes and he saddles up his horse, he gets on it, and he rides off into the west. And there's a silhouette against the sun, and everybody from the village or the town, they say goodbye to him and watch him go over the horizon. And then you see the end, at the end of the movie, and the music plays, and the credits are run. That's my kind of movie. And so that's also why I kind of like Hebrews 11, because you know, it's called the Great Faith Chapter, the Hall of Faith, and it talks about some of the greatest people in the Bible. Now, none of them were perfect. They all had their flaws, which makes us all feel better. But you think about it, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, and Samuel, those were the heroes that stood up for God at all cost, and they stood up for righteousness. And their stories ended up with them riding into the sunset. The Bible is filled with so many of these stories, so many of these heroes, heroes that conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of a sword. They were made strong from their weakness. They became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, And they could do anything as long as God was with them. And that's the way we ought to be. But you know what? It doesn't always work out that way, does it? And we've been feeling that way sometimes. Good doesn't always win. The boy doesn't always get the girl. Righteousness doesn't always triumph in this world. Sometimes there's not even a sunset to ride into. A friend of mine once said, and I had to think about it for a long time, he said, you know, life is fair. And you're all sitting there saying, no, it's not. Life is not fair. We've all had times when we feel that life is not fair. But here's what he said. It treats everybody harshly at some times, and nobody gets out alive. That's life. And that's really okay. Because if you go back to Hebrews 11, reading in verse 35 through 38, and I would invite you to open your Bibles if you have them. I would invite you to pull up your tablets, because I did not do a PowerPoint presentation for today, because as an old preacher, sometimes I feel I love the pitter-patter of little pages, or at least the little pitter-patter of little fingers. I'm good with that too. But Hebrews 11 does not stop by just telling us about the heroes, the conquering heroes. In 35 through 38, it kind of busts the bubble. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in half. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep, goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. And you can catch a hint here, even if you go back to the fourth verse of chapter 11 in Hebrews, it starts out by Abel. By faith, Abel, the first man mentioned in this chapter, offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And we know he died. He was a man of faith. He was a man who pleased God, and he still died. He was killed by his own brother for jealousy. That's not right. That's not fair. And whether you like to hear this kind of thing or not, it happened a lot in the scriptures. Stephen, he preaches this awesome sermon. And it's a powerful sermon in Acts chapter 7. And then the crowd is a thank you, stoned him to death. The apostles were leaders of the early church, and they were handpicked by Jesus himself to form the foundation of the New Testament church. And every last one of them except John was martyred. And who could forget Paul's tale in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 27? Five times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, though many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That's a big list, people, if you think about it. And is he complaining in this? It's just a fact. He continued on until the end of his race, which ended, by the way, with him being beheaded in Rome. Now, I don't remember signing up for this when I became a Christian. I was pretty young, and I don't know that everyone explained all this to me. And how many of us, can you say today, became Christians looking forward to that kind of treatment? Somebody once told me that if you have not been persecuted for your faith, you're not doing it right, even in the world we live in today. And yet, that's the kind of thing that Jesus promises is going to happen to us. In John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. Hang on to that. That may be the most important part of the lesson today. In this world, you will have troubles. It does not say you might have troubles. It does not say you may have troubles. You will have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have troubles. You might face persecution. You might face unfair treatment. You might be insulted or abused. You might face tragedy, loss, sorrow, and even death. And you might face all the above. You never know. But in reality of what's happened to us in the last few years, unless you were directly hit by COVID, most of us were merely inconvenienced by all the most recent events. Actually, the Bible is very upfront about these truths. In James chapter 1, verse 2, one of my favorite verses, and one of the hardest for me to ever get a grip on. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, I've thought about that for a lot of my life. It's like, oh boy, I broke my leg. Oh boy, I have the measles. Oh boy, I got COVID. You know, Think about it, though. In the last couple of years, who among us hasn't been tried? Whether you've been tried physically or emotionally or both. But here's one more truth that's important. And this truth is why we can look on forward to tomorrow, to next month, to the new year to come. The truth is this: Jesus came to give us peace. Peace even when things aren't right. Peace during what seems to be a never-ending pandemic. Peace during political and social unrest. And man, we have a lot of that. Even peace during years like 2020, 2021, and even peace in 2022. Here's where your peace comes from. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, Paul wrote, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depths nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord." Remember that. Now here's the deal. Jesus never promised life without pain or sorrow. And this side of heaven, we're not going to get that. It's just not going to happen. But the promise is, if you go on, keep pushing and pushing towards that goal to the end of the race, at the end of our life comes the reward. In Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Doesn't that sound good? In this world, you will have trouble, but not in heaven. Now, it strikes me kind of interesting that in Hebrews 11, God chose to tell us about the heroes and the ones that got to ride off into the sunset, but he also focused on other heroes. But why did he mention them? Why do you and I need to hear about these folks? Because we need to understand the reality that bad things happen to good people. That's part of it. Notice what God tells us about Abel again. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Though he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. So what did God say he noticed about Abel? That he was righteous? That he offered a more acceptable sacrifice? And that God commended him? He was the first man mentioned in the Hall of Faith. And all that Abel did, all that you can read about him in the Bible, was he offered an acceptable sacrifice to God. And yet God honors Abel by telling us his name and telling us about him and holding him up to us as an example. He commends him. And when you're commended, it means that God notices you. You ever wonder if God notices you at all? You know, we have the Santa Claus is watching. Do you believe God is watching? God notices. If you're struggling with something in your life and you've gone through a tragedy or a loss in your life, and we all have or we all will it sometimes, and if you've offered your life to God as a living sacrifice, and you've done what you've done for the honor and glory of God, God will notice. And he will commend you. And he will point you out to others. Others see what you do. You know, when you're here, people are watching. And when you leave and people know that you are a Christian, people are still watching. And they're watching with a harsher judgment. When you live for God, especially when that life has been hard and it has been tragic and it has been full of ups and downs, God will mention you to others in one way or another. You may not know that God is pointing you out, but he is. God is commending you so that others will look at you and they'll be encouraged. Your life is an example that matters. Your presence in worship this morning matters more than you may ever know. Your life is an example. I've had people before, and I've heard people say that, you know, I just didn't get anything out of being in church on Sunday morning. And my first response is, maybe you didn't put anything into it. But the second response is, maybe it wasn't your day to get something out. Maybe it was your day to give. Maybe somebody just saw you there as an example, thinking, wow, I know what he's going through, and I know what's going on in his life, and he is still here praising God. How encouraging. How you've handled this pandemic encourages people. Your faith in suffering matters to God, and it encourages people. And the next point's probably the most important. As we're going through the good years and the bad years, we also need to understand that this isn't all. And I thank God for that every day. Somebody asked me one time, what if there was no heaven? I told them that would be the cruelest joke ever, if this was all you had to live for. Hebrews 11:16. They desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You and I have a place prepared for us. It's a better place. It's a better country. It's a better city. It's a better home than we have now. I recently heard it put like this, and I thought it was kind of interesting. From your seat in heaven, the most miserable life you see will look like one bad night in an inconvenient hotel. You have to think about that one for a minute. I've spent some really bad nights in some pretty bad hotels, but it was only one night. When I got home, I got to sleep in my own bed. I got to eat my own food. I got to sit in my own chair. The hotel was inconvenient, but I had comfort in knowing that I was going to go home one day. In the same way, this earth, you will have troubles. You will have some inconvenient days in some really bad hotels. But it will only last a few short years. And then you'll get to go home. James chapter 4 talks about our lives. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Compared to eternity, our entire lifespan is a blink. We have a relatively short time on this earth to serve God and prepare for what comes next. It makes whatever takes place in this world, no matter how bad, bearable. I long for a better home, and I long for the city promised by God. You see, when we became Christians and we live for God, like those heroes in chapter 11 did, when that happens, God says he will not be ashamed to be called our God. and we will live with him for eternity. All we need to do is belong to him. And how do you belong to him? I hope that everyone here knows the answer to that. But if you don't, listen up. It's pretty simple. One, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Two, you have to repent of your sins. Three, you have to confess him as your Lord and Master. Four, you need to be buried with him in a watery grave to rise up and walk in a newness of life. And five, then living for him with all your heart. Sometimes we forget the fifth part. I know when we teach people, you know, how to become Christians, we don't necessarily tell them that there's a cost, but we need to explain to them that they will be ridiculed, they will have bad days, they are not immune. When I teach and preach in Romania, the one thing that we don't do is we don't offer the invitation at the end of every service. We don't do that because we truly need to make sure they understand the commitment they're making. A lot of times when you talk to them, we say, well, what happens on Sunday? Well, we go back to the Orthodox Church. And then what will you be? I'll be an Orthodox that was baptized. So we want to make sure that they understand that the full impact of what decision they're making. But today you have an opportunity to obey the invitation. If you have not put on Christ in baptism, if you are not at peace that Jesus gives you through the time we have, you can answer, this is your time. I guarantee that this is a better time than tomorrow. Because why waste another day? If you need the prayers of this congregation for anything, the elders are here. So I invite you to respond however you wish when we stand and sing.